From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 774, looking at the Windows Server 2022 preview with guest Robert Smith. Recorded Wednesday, May 19th, 2021. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Robert Smith, who is an EMEA cloud solution architect at Insight and is a current Microsoft MVP for cloud and data center, starting back in 2009. And in 2019, he became an Insider MVP as well. Over 20 years of experience in IT, working in educational, healthcare, and finance industries. And Robert's past experience in the trenches of IT gives him the knowledge and insight that helps him communicate effectively with IT professionals. I follow his blog, and so should you. And you can also follow him on Twitter, at ClusterMVP. Great name for Twitter. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, I've been watching the announcements around Server 2022. And I don't know, do people really care about operating systems anymore? Like, we all have them, but it just doesn't seem to be the same hoopla around the next version of Windows.
Yeah, well, it's a bit surprised because Microsoft's keep it really under the radar. And normally, MVPs will be onboarded very soon and did some beta fuse. But in this time, well, it was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's an insider preview build. And of course, there are some preview builds. But
and anybody can be an insider if you want to. You just sign up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you should. You should sign up for an insider because that gives you the chance for the early bits. And then not only for the server, but also for Windows 10.
Right.
See all the firsts and all the previews, but you can easily run it on your Windows 10 system because Hyper-V is already included.
Right, right. So have you got a Server 2022 set up in a Hyper-V instance on your machine?
Yes.
Okay.
I got several, and if you want, you know, a little bit more advanced, if you set it up to the Hyper-V and you have a disk, you can upload this to Azure. And run it in Azure also.
Right.
Because the preview is not yet available in Azure, but if you want, you can run it over there also.
It's really interesting. And it's also just a question of, what are we looking for? When we talk about new features of Server 2022, like, what do you look at? What are you excited for?
Yeah, well, I think the security piece, it's interesting to see what Microsoft is moving because security is nowadays, should always be a big business, but lately with cloud hybrid technology, security is should be on the top of your list.
Yeah, and the black hats are getting blacker. Like, it's not only a lot of hacks, but they are very intentionally destructive too. Like, it's hard to run your own gear these days, just with the threat levels that are out there.
Yes, you have to pay notice of what you are doing and leave the door a little bit open the next time you come in and the room is full with black guys, you know, black hackers. And that is something you don't want, right? So, if you are a friendly hacker and leave a note from, hey, you have something in your server, but that is often not the case.
Yeah,
they place all kind of stuff of software in it, and that is something you don't need. But all these features, all these nice features, like the core security that comes in Server 2022, that's not there yet, and it's also depending on the hardware vendors. So in this case, the secured core server. It's also a little bit waiting on the hardware vendors, what they bring to us and how we can test this.
Yeah, these things like secure boot, like, this reminds me of the original TPM stuff going back to, well, I hate to say it, but Vista, right? Vista really After Service Pack 2 of XP, it was Vista that really started with the trusted platform stuff. But this has got to be a much more mature version of it.
Yeah, and even for the hardware change, you need to have a TPM chip 2.0.
Right.
And it, so if you don't have it, or some, you have a small company and a little bit outdated server, but it doesn't have the latest and the greatest hardware, so all these features are useless to you. And so they are pushing also getting new hardware. If you have or want to have the latest features enabled, and your machine must be certified for that.
And you can run an instance in Hyper-V and it'll still lean on the TPM chip of its host.
Yes, but it should be a Generation 2.
Okay, but it does need to be Gen 2.
If you have a Generation 1, yeah. So the Generation.
I've certainly encountered issues where having mixed servers, some TPM 1s and some TPM 2s, you can't really move the VMs around properly. Like, it will cause you grief.
Well, it depends on what kind of hardware it's relay or right. Below your Hyper-V stack. So if it's proper configured and you have best practices of Microsoft, then yeah, it should be okay.
Okay, so you can mix TPM versions with a set of VMs?
Well, you can go up, but lower.
You can't.
But, of course.
You can't go down.
That's always a problem. No, no. So if you are BitLocker system in TPM 1.5 or something, and you move this to a better machine that has TPM 2.0,
right,
then it still works, right? But if you use features on 2.0, like later maybe the Secure Core server, and you have some legacy machine, yeah, that shouldn't work.
Yeah, you're going to get into trouble with that. It seems Absolutely. To me that they're, I mean, TPM 2 has been around for a while now. It seems to me that this 2022 is not so much adding new security features as making a lot of these security features default, like TLS 1.3, no SMB 1, like stuff we've been, that Ned Pyle's been telling us to do forever, now just on by default in 2022.
Yeah, and surprisingly, there's also a little integration in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way it goes, maybe in the next 3-4 versions of server, maybe it's getting an appliance or something quite easy that's already there. And because what else do we need in the server?
Right.
Everything is there. It's improved. Versions are being better through. And now Admin Center is there to manage all the systems remotely, getting easier also for the average IT guy. Not a high goal for managing a server. You have this admin and everything goes up practically automatically for you.
Yeah, it's tough to consider the idea of running new servers. What do you really need it for on-prem? Doesn't it make more sense to spend more money on better bandwidth to the cloud rather than putting hardware in the office anymore?
Yeah, but the bandwidth, it's, yeah, it depends on where you live.
Sure.
You know, I have at home a gig fiber. So,
right.
Yeah, just because you can.
Yeah. Right? So, and why wouldn't you? But, we're still dealing with the pandemic issues and everybody's working from home and we're finding out who's got good connectivity to their home and who doesn't. You know, if you're creating those dependencies where these guys are moving multi-gigabyte files into their machines at home, and it doesn't matter how good your pipe is, that's a long time. That's a lot of data being hauled around.
Absolutely. If you're testing some SQL databases or terabytes of data, then your pipe is being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what kind of BV hardware you have, it's always the connectivity. And
it is the constrained resource these days.
Yes, and connectivity is it's next to the thing. The internet is really important. It's and there comes your server. Your server gets less important in that case because you cannot do something with this connectivity to the internet, publishing things, maybe do some virtualization on this Windows 10 systems. Mm-hmm. Or it depends on your workload.
Yeah, always. And I think that's it's always an interesting conversation to have with folks. It's like, well, what servers are you keeping on prem at the office still versus what you shifted to the cloud? Especially in the past year, this great migration into the cloud, driven by the current crisis. But there's some stuff I think that still makes sense in Office. You're never going to go without any servers. It's just fewer.
And the best part is you get a reason to upgrade.
Yeah.
Because a lot of companies are still running Server 2008 and maybe older. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. But you shouldn't do that. But if you get poked by someone on the internet, yeah, well, you're in bad shape because your environment is gone.
Yeah, 2008 is out of support. We really have to get past that.
Yeah. And that gives Microsoft another reason saying, well, now in the next year, Server 2022 is there, so you should upgrade.
Yeah. As long as the hardware is compatible, as long as it's you've got the modern versions of the hardware.
Always.
Have you been looking at these upgrade the new container approaches? Is that something on your radar in terms of, because it seems like servers headed that way, doing more containerization of applications?
Yeah, so Kubernetes is also there, mm-hmm. and but that is currently not really in the 2022. That's still pending on in the next releases, probably.
Right.
So in the next, I say releases, in the next builds that are coming from the server preview. So, I'm curious on how that will run and what you can do.
Yeah.
That is something, it's also on the focus of a lot of people. Like you said, containerization is something, yeah, it's on the radar. But
yeah, it's certainly something I've been talking to folks about is, they've got old applications that are not going to be improved, right? There's nobody building new versions of that software. The company still depends on it. Can I put it in some kind of encapsulation, some kind of protection so that I don't have to worry about its security issues? I don't have to worry about it interacting with other software. Containers seems to be a great answer to that. I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all approach to take to keeping old software safe.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think for a lot of applications, maybe web applications or that kind of stuff, that's easy. But you have in a lot of these older applications, you need to put something here and a string over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it probably really difficult to run that in a container. But yeah, testing is key.
Yeah, you've got to evaluate each piece of software. And if again, you can't modify it. Typically, the scenario I've seen is folks can't change that software. So if it's badly behaved from a container approach, it's just not going to work for you. If you could change it, you wouldn't have this problem in the first place.
Yeah, well, it's not stable enough, you get it working, but you have to restart this container 10 times a day, then also probably useless. And then you can always choose here's a VM running, not an outdated Windows Server version, but
it's an outdated Windows version, right? It's like, I got that cranky old app running on this VM. I am not going to change it. You're afraid of it. But the whole prospect of, I'm going to try and make that app run on a newer VM host and see if I can make that better. At some point, this gets too expensive. At some point, you've got to push back on, we need to rewrite or replace this app in some way. I think it's a constant battle.
And you can ask yourself, so if I have this application that runs for 25 years mm-hmm. or longer, do I really need it? Is it that good? Is there no replacement that is probably being better, or some SaaS application that I can do for very cheap? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you can run it maybe in a container or in Azure maybe, and then it's always there. Right. And it depends on what you are doing with this application, and are you there to touch it and to change it?
Yeah.
Because that is often the case.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to spend time in these old applications because it's running.
These old forms over data Windows apps dependent on SQL Server seem to be the bane of some folks' existence. And I think Power Apps may be the window. It's like, you could rewrite this relatively inexpensively in a tool that it will be cloud savvy and work on mobile devices and all those good things. And that's a different show.
Yeah, but you mentioned SQL. SQL is just a pain as the rest. Mm-hmm. These versions, a lot of customers are running really outdated SQL servers. And you see it now with Exchange, also 2013 or older versions. And it seems not that old, but in software country, a year is it's already history.
Yeah.
10 versions are there. So
2013 is 8 years old now. You know, if you haven't kept up, you're struggling. And this latest wave of the Hafnium exploits in Exchange, I think everybody's Exchange operators are going, holy man, like, when do we turn this off? When do we move to the cloud? I don't want to deal with that again. Is that breach was crazy. Robert, I got to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection back at the Swan Hotel in Orlando, June 6th to 10th. You've heard the SQL Q&A shows we publish on Run As twice a year from SQL Intersection. That is a microcosm of the 5 days of awesome learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as insight into the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest version of SQL Server. And if you still have questions by the end of the week, join the closing session of SQL Intersection and be part of the SQL Q&A show on Run As Radio. SQL Intersection is at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida, June 6th to 10th. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at SQLintersection.com, and I'll see you there. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Robert Smith over in the Netherlands, talking a bit about our experiences with Server 2022. You wrote a blog post, I guess it's a few weeks back now, talking about sysprep problems with this preview version of 2022. I mean, I suspect this might be a little unfair, because obviously the next preview will fix this, but it was a bit cranky to get installed.
Yeah, well, it was an easy fix, because, and also, I think, the update of Edge was just a last minute saying, well, let's push out the latest version of Edge into that preview.
Yeah.
And they just installed it as a user and not as a system. Right. So, yeah, pull it back on. It's easy. But, if you are just new to the system and didn't know how to do it, yeah, then... there's a guidance on my blog, so it's easy to do. But it will. Sometimes these little testing is time consuming, and that is also why you should join the insiders for getting the latest bit. Because next time, if something happens in production, and you are familiar with the product, and you say, "Oh, that's the problem, probably," and I played with it, it's not the first time, so. It makes things easier.
And it just reminds you of all the moving parts in Windows that a misassigned security privilege for the browser impairs an install. Like, that's an interesting issue. Okay. Don't know why that would have that much impact, but I guess it does. And we can work around that.
Yeah. And for the sysprep, it's a common thing, because if you want to use it for like Windows Virtual Desktop, or a lot of people are creating pre-built images and then deploy it to the VMware machines, or making templates for Citrix if they do that. And then you have to sysprep these machines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also looking out for new Active Directory capabilities coming in 2022. Just trying to figure out how Active Directory is going to go forward now with so much Azure AD and, you know, hybrid life. It's like, what does a Active Directory look like long term? Like, well, how much energy is Microsoft still putting into it? Because they sure aren't talking about it.
Well, that's an interesting part, because if you run a server in Azure, mm-hmm. you can make that server Azure Active Directory join.
Right.
And you can do all the things, you have multi-factor authentication out of the box, but on premise, you can't. So even it's the same build, so there are features in Windows already that can do that.
Yeah, so there are workarounds.
So if you download, an image from Azure to the on-premise and run it on a Hyper-V, then you have of course, it's a workaround, but theoretically, you should have an Azure AD joint server
right.
on-premise.
Yeah, well.
Probably not supported, but you can, right? So, and it's there in Azure. So in the next probably years, you will see that the domain joint will go away and also probably come into the Azure Active Directory.
Yeah, I think that seems inevitable. And I think it's folks are just minimizing their efforts around AD these days just because it looks like it's all going to be cloud joined after this. And that's what you should focus your attention on. And the same for the group policy aspects and how you do authentication strategies. So, yeah, it's, you know, we think about most new Microsoft products as coming from the cloud first, right? Everything in Exchange shows up in Exchange Online, and then we get a new version of Exchange on-prem. I just don't get the same sense for Windows Server. Like, you don't see a version of Server in the cloud that then has capabilities that we eventually can get in an in-prem build. I don't think they're working that way right now.
No, it's and maybe it's, you know, it's hard to guess because it's also what does the market do, and like the pandemic that mm-hmm. is changing a lot of things, and people are working from home, different demands that we couldn't imagine a year ago. Right. So, and Microsoft must be struggling with that also.
Yeah. I wonder if this is the preview to dip their toes in the water and say, what do people want from a new version of Server? Like, obviously, the security stuff is front and center because everybody is struggling with security problems these days. The container stuff seems to be a little interesting to me just because it is addressing legacy issues and so forth eventually. But I see the secure by the, you know, DNS support for secured DNS. Yeah, we probably should have had that a while ago. And, you know, that should always have been on one way or the other. But I don't know that what other people are really caring about that's going to make the biggest difference to them in a new server.
Yeah, they just run a server, just as 2012, 2016, 2019, mm-hmm. and probably a lot of. Yeah, people are just running the latest version or latest version minus one because they're still scared about the new features that will come. And I don't know. But if you want to have the best experience, you should have the latest version. And if you have Azure and you have a hybrid environment, then, yeah, you can easily manage this new server with Azure Arc.
Yeah.
Maybe. That is something maybe on a roadmap for a lot of people.
Well, certainly the admin client or what, you know, the general press towards stop using RDP, which most of the IT people are really struggling with. Like, RDP is how I talk to my machines. And I know you want me to stop, but it's like, there's a bunch of workflows I've got that kind of depend on RDP.
Yeah, well, RDP is still there. You want to have remote access, but this RDP is now HTML5, right? You can't do that. You can't. RDP with your browser,
right?
But you have to have HTML5, and you don't need RDP. You don't need to open the port. Yeah, the port must be open on the server, of course,
right?
But not exposed on the internet.
You would hope.
Well, yeah, there are plenty of tools that can do that. If you're using Admin Center, then you can run it in the Admin Center, also in the browser.
Yeah, the Admin Center makes me pretty happy. Again, for certain tasks, but I think we're still struggling with other things. And that's got nothing to do with a new version of the operating system either. Like, Admin Center has been given to us for a while now to try and get us managing existing servers. It's just always a struggle of, is 2022 going to move us further down this path? Really, you know, help? And how is that going to make that easier? What makes remote admin simpler in 2022? I don't have good answers for that yet.
Well, it depends on connectivity, of course, where mm-hmm. your servers are. How you are connecting to your service, if it's in a data center or next to you in a closet or something.
Right.
And remote access to that server. Eh? A lot of people are still walking to the data center, like to cuddle the service because they see it as a pet.
Yes. Go look at the blinky lights.
Yes. And there's a console and they work on it. But in the modern day, you go where you are and on the road or on your laptop and doing remote desktop or HTML5 remote desktop or Bastion or whatever tool you're using for connectivity to the server.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. Yeah, probably game changer to connectivity and to the ports that needs to be open on your firewall. Because a lot of things are not being opened, but it's being triggered by you.
Right.
You're accessing the door.
Or you're going through a VPN connection or however you're getting there to try and stay there securely. I guess the biggest thing I see with 2022, why we have to pay attention to it is going to be the long-term support version. So if running your own servers is in your plan for the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to end up with some 2022. There's no way around that.
You should. Yes, absolutely. And the migration is getting better and better. There are already built-in tools in Server 2020. Even in 2019, the migration service is easy to use.
Yeah.
Or use it in combination with Windows Admin Center. And it's probably lift and shift for you, or doing the easy parts by tooling.
Yep, just build a new VM, set the new instance up, move the workloads across, retire the old VM.
Yeah, and of course, that seems easy. And they are saying 80% of your workloads that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a fraction of this needs some manual or a reinstallation of any kind of programs that needs to be set up on a server. That not is being done by the migration services, but yeah, it's getting easier.
Yeah. I don't see anything in any of the notes so far about talking about 2022 as a good VM host. I've been enjoying using 2019 as a VM host on a set of servers, but I at the moment would have no inclination to change that. Like, I don't see any emphasis on this will host really well.
No, time will tell, and I expect. Yeah, the things are getting better and better,
mm-hmm.
and you have more advanced security features like the TLS that you already mentioned in the beginning, and HTTPS support and all these little things. Yeah, that makes things better and also worthwhile on doing the latest bits on a VM.
Yeah,
or on a host.
Security on by default, I think, is the biggest one we're going to get here. Just said you don't have to comb through the configurations of your VMs to make sure you've got SMB1 turned off and the proper AES on and HTTP3. Like, you can make all that stuff work on older versions of Windows, but the idea that it's just there in 2022 and preferred, I think it's going to make our lives just a little bit easier.
Yeah, trust no one.
So, any idea when we're getting another build? I hadn't read anything about an impending preview. No. This has really been a quiet new version of Windows, which I find odd.
Yeah, and it probably comes also, we have this Ignite Spring build. And after that, there's probably nothing, right? So it's the MVP summit was there, but it's used for announcing new bits.
No.
And the next event will probably be the server event. And I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but looking at last year, there was a server, Windows Server event somewhere in probably May or in June. And and then after the holiday season, probably there will be Ignite autumn or...
Yeah, you got to think that the fall Ignite will be the...
Oh, the fall something, yeah.
Will probably be a fairly big version. I don't know that it'll be actually shipping by then. We have no indication of that at all. I wonder if this is going to be a late 2022 version, because they're really just sort of seeing what the market wants this time around.
Yeah, it's exciting when it comes. But yeah, nobody knows at this time because... The features that are being showed in the text for 2020
mm-hmm.
are not there. Nobody can touch it or test it for a spin. And we all have to wait to the next build.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Hey, Robert, really great to talk to you. Thanks so much for your help in this space. I see other folks have leaned on your blog posts around getting this up and running, and I hope you'll come back when we get a new version and we can argue whether this is worthwhile. Like, are they doing stuff we care about? I appreciate your insights.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. And maybe we are totally wrong on the builds. And yeah.
It would not be the first time, friend. I've been wrong before. But we're not getting a lot from the Windows team. So, you know, other than the occasional blog post and everything's pretty vague. I guess it's up to us to take these bits out for a spin and just go, is this good? Is this something we need?
Absolutely.
And take it from there. All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Robert Smith, thanks for coming on the show. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.